What It Is to Die, What It Is to Live. Written by Safely Capricious and read by Flower Parish. This is a Marvel and Old Guard crossover fic, rated explicit, warned for graphic depictions of violence. The main relationship is pre-relationship Andy / Natasha Romanov. Summary. Anastasia, no, her name is Natalia now, is 17 the first time she dies. It is not the last. The air is thick with the smoke from the guns. She can't see. She can't hear. All she can do is curl up and try to cover her head and hope that they stop. They don't stop. She's dimly aware of her sister, next to her, when they pull away the pillow she's been hiding behind, filled with some of the jewels they had, and shoot her in the head. She is 17 the first time she dies. She wakes up in the basement. Her sister is slouched next to her, bleeding and still and pale and dead. The rest of her family, the few servants that had been able to stay with her, their dogs are dead around her. She was shot. She remembers being shot. She must make a noise. They return. They start at the front of the room, stabbing bayonets in, and she makes another noise, but she can't get away and she is 17 the second time she dies. There is something heavy on top of her, something both squishy and firm underneath her, and the world is jolting and it's a body she lies against, another body on top of her, crushing her. She's naked. They're all naked. She looks and Olga, under her, her mother, and father above. This must be hell, she realizes, as the vehicle lurches and chugs over the rough landscape. She's in hell. She's unable to move, trapped as she is. She pushes and thrashes and nothing. She cannot get free. She cannot escape this. The tears that escape her eyes sting no worse than the gunshot, than the bayonets. But still, the slight pain makes her cry harder and harder and by the time the truck stops, she's exhausted herself. The faces she sees are not ones she recognizes at first. And then there are some, among them, Yurovsky is there, snapping orders. She remembers sticking her tongue out at his back, enough to be sent to hell. She cries out when they grab her. She can't help it. The grip is tight and yanks her arm and hurts. They yell. They scream. She is 17 the third time she dies. There's dirt in her mouth and her eyes, and she has to fight and work harder than she ever has. She hurts worse than when she fell out of the tree by the time she's made it to the surface and looks down to realize the tool she's been using is a bone. A small bone. There was someone else in the hole with her. She realizes, as she drops the bone, her sister, her brother, one of her parents, and gasps for breath and air, and the air smells like burnt flesh and mud, and it's dark, and she doesn't know where she is, and she's in hell, and her family is dead, and now, what are you? The voice comes out of the darkness, and she shrieks and whirls and tries to cover herself. She's still naked, albeit covered in mud, and the man who stands there is not one she recognizes. He's smoking, the smell impossible to detect over the other smells, but the ember glows as he brings it to his lips and then away. What? She says, voice alien to her own ears. She wants to say who she is, for him to tell her that this is a dream, a mistake, that she's being sent to Germany like they had said they would be, eventually. But she fights that urge back with a hysterical giggle. She's in hell. He already knows who she is. He must. He hums, takes another drag from his cigarette. She's never smoked. She wonders if she should try it. Could it help? It does not seem like it could hurt. Before she can ask him if he'll lend her one, he draws a pistol and shoots her, the flash brighter than the ember of his cigarette. She's 17 the fourth time she dies. The sky is lightning when she wakes up. There's dew on her eyelashes, and when she blinks it away, the man is reaching out for her arm and hauling her to her feet. He looks at her. She's too tired to cover herself. She's in hell. What does it matter? Before he grunts and takes his coat off, dropping it around her shoulders and... It's not cold out, not really. It's summer. And hell, besides. Still, she clutches it to herself and looks at him. You'll do, he says, and she doesn't think to ask what he means as he ushers her away to a nearby car. Would you rather be Evdokia or Alevtina? He asks, smoking another cigarette as he guides the car through the muddy path. What? Why can't I be Anastasia? She asks, voice breaking. He scoffs. Don't be stupid, he says. She feels indignity light a fire in her gut. She's not stupid and he shouldn't talk to her like that and she remembers that she's in hell. What about, could I be Natalia? She asks. She was sometimes called Natasia by her family, and if she is to become Natalia, then sometimes she will be Natasha, maybe, which is close. Familiar. He grunts his agreement. Natalia it is. At the moment, it feels like a win. She won't have another for close to 10 years. It is not hell, she finds out, but the room which has found her. As they experiment on her and put her through training, she decides there is not much of a difference between the two. We work for the good of Mother Russia, they tell her, and you will too. She dies more times than she can count. She dreams of others, and not the girls who surround her, hard-eyed and delighted that they do not get punished for hurting her too much. She dreams of other faces, 3 men and 2 women. One of them is drowning over and over and over and... The first time they force her head underwater, she struggles until she can't anymore. They told her to accept it, to go quiet, but she can't. It's her dream, it's her nightmare, it's... She dies. The other girls will get a broken wrist for a mistake. She gets a broken neck. She learns. She still dreams. She has finally stopped thinking of herself as Anastasia and begins to think of herself as Natalia. The other girls get older. The other girls die. They are replaced with new girls. Younger girls. Natalia stops bothering to learn their names, stops bothering to try to befriend them. Her handlers get old. They die. Sometimes she kills them if they are incompetent, but carefully so that it can never be traced back to her. She does not bother to learn the names of the new handlers. She is a phoenix. What use does she have for learning the names of the mayflies? The only people she still lets herself care about are those she dreams of. She made them up to survive, but they stay with her. They do not change. She cannot remember the voices of her sisters, of her little brother, any longer, but she still has them when she closes her eyes. There is even peace in knowing the drowning woman will always be there, always be dying, much like Natalia. She does not expect to come face to face with one of them as she works with the Vietnamese. She has tried not to learn the names of those who she is assisting here, as she knows they will all die and leave her. But it is the first assignment she's ever had where she's stationed instead of in and out and on to the next thing, and her soft heart still wants to care. You, the woman says. She wears her dark hair short around her face. She is in fatigues. Natalia is too surprised that she is here, physically, real, to recognize the insignia, but she does find herself somewhat jealous of the hair. Hers is long, always. And if it gets damaged, then they take her into the lab, and when she exits, it is long again, and she does not remember what happens, but she shudders to think of it. Behind her, there are suddenly others, the 3 men from the dreams as well, and they all seem equally surprised to see her. How do I know you? She asks, and one of the men opens his mouth and then, gunfire, from the east, from the west, from everywhere. She drops to the ground before she is struck. Watches the others bleed and die and watches the light come back into their eyes as their flesh knits itself back together and... You're one of us, the woman says, staring at her across the expanse of dirt between them. We've been looking for you, but you never stay in one place long enough for us to find you. I belong to the Red Room, she says, for the room had become the Red Room, and their belief in Mother Russia has changed to the support of the USSR, and she is sure if someone else were to prove more useful, the name and goals would change again. She is a gun, shooting wherever she is pointed. Fuck that, says one of the men. You belong to yourself. Come with us. We'll help you. The woman reaches a hand across the expanse, and Natalia takes it and feels like she can breathe again for the first time since her first death. The end.